So, without any further ado, I am going to introduce our guest speaker to you today. We are privileged to have Pastor Daryl Reynolds and his wife Francine with us, and they are from the Binghamton area, and the name of their church is Triumphant Life Church. So if you're on vacation, you're down that way, check them out. You will be blessed. All right. So, they've been a blessing to us. Pastor Daryl is a new board member now for Abounding Grace, which we are so excited about. He and Pastor Sam Smucker are two of our board members, and we're very privileged to have him here this morning. So I'd like you to give a warm welcome to Pastor Daryl.
Francine and I just considered a great honor to be here, and we just love your pastors. You just have the greatest pastors. You really should just appreciate them. You know, they love God, and as you know, Pastor Jay loves the Word of God. He's got an addiction to the Word of God. And that's one of the greatest addictions you can have, you know. A lot of great side effects from that, you know, like it's life and health to all your flesh, you know. It'll bring you peace and joy, that type of thing. But they not only love God, but they love their flock. They love you people. And, you know, if it's your first time here, please don't judge it on me. Pastor Jay will be back next week, okay? And I do, because I know he's such a student of the Word, I do come with much fear and trembling before you. And one other thing that, you know, several years ago I was just praying. I'm like, Lord, how can I be more effective in ministering and really seeking God? And I really expected him to give me some great revelation. And do you know what he told me? He said, if you want to be more effective, smile more. So if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, you know, Pastor Daryl isn't being so effective, just smile at me. It'll remind me to smile, and I know I'll be more effective because God said, just smile more. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So let's pray, because our time is limited here. So, Father, we're so thankful and so grateful. I'm so thankful for this house, Father God. I'm so thankful for what you're doing in this house and in the lives of the people that go here, in the pastors and all the staff. I thank you for this house, Lord. And I ask your blessing upon it. And today, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me utterance, that I would open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of this glorious gospel. And I pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, all of our minds to understand, and all of our hearts to receive everything you have for us, Holy Spirit. And I pray that every person that came here will leave changed and blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know, at our church, our slogan is, Jesus changes everything. I just love that. We have a big billboard, one of them electronic billboards as you're coming into Endicott, and it flashes in yellow letters, big blue background, Jesus changes everything. I mean, every time I'm driving down the street and I see that, I just shout. Because he changed everything in my life. How about yours? And the other thing we say, we have the two billboards up there. The other one is faith will change your story. You know, faith will change your story. Doesn't matter where you're at. Jesus changes everything, and faith in Jesus will change your story. Amen? So God just put something on my heart, very simple message, but I want to share it with you. I hope you know this. If you don't, great. But if you did, it's always good to remind ourselves. Peter said, as long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to put you in remembrance of things. And, you know, I sat under Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin removed the fear of repetition from my life, because he would go over things over and over and over again to make sure that we got it. So if you have your Bibles, you got your Bible? I got my Bible. I love the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 162 says, I rejoice over your word like one who's found a great spoil. Come on. You know, if you just struck the lottery, and you could pay off the church's mortgage and everybody's mortgage in here, you would not be sitting there somber and sad. You would be rejoicing, right? Well, this is a greater treasure than any money is. And the Bible says, I rejoice over your word like one who's found a great treasure, a great spoil. Amen? So in Luke 17, verse 5 and 6, I'm reading, this year, I'm reading through the English Standard Version. I really like this translation. I should have bounced that off Pastor Jay before I said it, but I love the English Standard Version. The apostles, I've read a couple versions that I put down and will never pick up again, but the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Let me read that again. This is the apostles, the guys that had walked with Jesus, and they said to Jesus, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I just thought Jesus' answer is kind of interesting. Lord, increase our faith. You know, you'd think he might have said something else, but he said, I believe what he was saying is, listen, guys, that's not the problem here. In fact, he said that if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. So it's interesting to me. The disciples were asking more faith. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I have been there. I've been there where I'm like, Lord, I need more faith. Basically, Jesus said, listen, boys, that ain't your problem. He taught that faith comes from God and his word, and it's a supernatural substance. I like to think of it as faith is like splitting the atom. You know what the atomic bomb, greatest force probably on earth, the greatest bomb on earth, comes from splitting the smallest molecules. It creates a chain reaction that will blow cities apart. And I kind of, when I started studying this just a few years ago, the Lord said, you've gotten away from faith. And so I just thought, I have. And I got back into it and I started studying. One of these things I studied was this grain of mustard seed. And so I like to think of it as splitting the atom that causes a chain reaction that's the most explosive force on earth to be released. Jesus was saying that faith is so powerful that you just need a little. I didn't say this. Jesus said this. Jesus said faith is so powerful. The faith that comes from God, that comes from his word, is so powerful that you just need a little, the size of a mustard seed, to move trees or any mountain you face in life. I don't know about you, but years ago, and I had to do this with this Bible, but I went up in my cupboard. My wife had some stuff in there, and she had a jar of mustard seeds. Do you see how big a mustard seed is? Can you see? That's a mustard seed. Jesus said if you had faith that much. Jesus said if you had faith that much. And as I was reading that, let me just stop and say this. But a few years back, the Lord began dealing with me about revisiting the subject of faith, and so I did. There was a lot of negative talk for years about the word of faith. You know that? I don't know if you know that. There was a lot of negative talk about it. And I think that a lot of preachers, including myself, we kind of backed off of teaching on faith. And I want to tell you this. I'm a faith man. I'm a faith man. And I don't apologize for it. In fact, I want to tell you this. I'm a word of faith man. No, I am. I'm just a word of faith man. I don't apologize. You have your choice. You can do what you want, but I am a word of faith man. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you this. Faith, it's amazing, but in the body of Christ and in some circles, it's almost like faith is like a curse word or it's blasphemy. But I'm telling you this, God himself has said in his word that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He didn't say, hey, you're going to have a hard time pleasing God without faith. He said, it's impossible. Impossible to please God without faith. And so we are saved by faith. Is that right? How many here are saved? How'd you get saved?
Faith.
We are to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I could go on and on. But just recently, a local pastor, actually his church is less than 2 miles from my house, but he got on, you know, the social media. I try not to get on that too much. I'm going to be 70 on May 4th. I'm 70. And I'm thankful. I can do everything I want to do, and I'm just so thankful to God. He's been so good to me and Francine. But anyhow, he got on, and I happened to see his feed. In fact, I'm going to an event on May 17th. He's going to be there, and I say, God bless you. But he was really bashing the word faith. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, you're really bashing Jesus, and you're really bashing Paul, because Paul is the first one that ever coined the word of faith. Didn't he? Romans 10:8, right? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Faith comes by hearing the word. So if you're preaching the word, faith is there. That is the word of faith. The whole Bible is the word of faith. Jesus was the word made flesh. And so, you know, the Lord just showed me, you backed off of that because there was some negative with that. And you didn't want to, you know, bear the brunt of people being, oh, you're the word of faith bunch. Now, have people gotten off? Yeah. People get off all the time. And it's always going to happen. And people run the wrong direction. And they know a little bit. They don't teach the whole counsel of God. They don't use wisdom in what they're doing. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be preaching the word of faith. Because without it, you ain't pleasing God. And Jesus said, if you had just a little bit. So I was struggling. I had a bunch of things. I had a bunch of mountains. I had a bunch of gnarly old trees that were in my life and in my family's life and things that I knew the Word of God told me that I had been redeemed from. I knew that God had given me promises that provided for me. And yet, a lot of those things, one of them, I'll just tell you, one of them was the mortgage on our church. And I'm like, my faith isn't just big enough to tackle that. I just don't have the faith. You know, I would say to myself, I got to grow my faith in that because I'm just not there yet where I believe that God can pay off the mortgage on my church building. And I read this scripture, and it like went alive in me. And I saw that this mustard seed is only that big. And I thought to myself, Daryl, you got that much faith that God can pay this building off. I just said, hold it. I got that much faith. See, the problem isn't the faith. God has given to every man the measure of faith. Every time you read a promise, that pertains to your problem, the enough of the measure of faith is in that word to move your mountain. No, I'm going to go over and say that on this side. I think this side got it here. I said, whenever you read a promise, whenever you read a scripture from God, there is enough faith in that scripture there is at least a mustard seed of faith in that scripture. There is enough faith in that word that you received to move your mountain. I got set free. I'm like, I thought I had to be this great faith giant. I just have to have a little faith. Here's the problem. And just operate. There's like two ingredients in faith. Did you know that? I said, did you know there's two ingredients in faith? Or two components? Believe in your heart. To me, that's the mustard seed. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Believe with your heart. Jesus changes everything, but this is what I've learned. In fact, I have sermons on this. Before God changes anybody, before God changes a life, he has to touch your mouth. Before you get saved. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you believe and you confess Jesus as Lord, you're saved. To get saved, to accept Jesus, he had to touch your mouth where you said, I believe in Jesus. And you got the greatest miracle of all. You were born again. Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Given right standing with God. Do you know, nobody can get closer to God than you can. You have just the same right standing as anybody that has accepted the blood of Jesus, everybody that has accepted Jesus as Lord, you can get as close to the Father as anybody. Don't that set you free? And it's not by works of righteousness which I've done that I can go pray them before the Father. I don't know about you, but when I go before the Father, I rest my whole case on one piece of evidence. I plead the blood of Jesus. I'm not going there telling him all everything I did for him. Just smile. I say, Lord, I come before you. I plead the blood. I have faith in the blood. I thank God for the blood. Whew. Wash me white as snow. Though my sins were like scarlet. Anyway, I had another pastor. You know, Paul coined the word of faith. So it's right in the Bible. Romans 10:8, you can write it down. Somebody criticizes the word of faith. You know, they're criticizing the Bible. Because Paul said, hey, this is what we're preaching. This is the gospel that I'm preaching. It's called the word of faith. Because faith comes by hearing, so any word has some faith, an element of faith to it. Are you listening? And then I had another pastor tell me. He said, you know, Pastor Darrell, you can go overboard on that faith business. He said, hey, you can go overboard on that faith business. I don't know about you. I listen to people. So I just went to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, you know, is it possible? Can you go overboard in this faith business? And I'm just going to tell you what the Lord said to me. You study it out for yourself. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. I said, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And the way he said it to me was, you cannot overdose on any of the fruit of the Spirit. I said, that's what God said to me. He said, you can't have too much of the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. You better watch that brother over there. You better watch that sister over there. They just got way too much of that love of God going on. How about joy? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. It's that sister so-and-so. She's just happy all the time. She's gone a little overboard in that joy business. How about peace? Can you overdose on peace? I said, can you overdose? In this world today, with everything, we have never lived in, the world has never seen, stuff is going on every which way. It's going on in the airwaves around us, on phones, everything. You don't know what's real news and what's fake news. You don't know what's AI and what's, you're bombarded. Is it possible that you could have too much peace? How about this one, long-suffering? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know what that means? Patience with people. I don't know, every time I get in my car, it seems like there's some people losing patience with me. Is that true? You know, I prayed for patience. Lord, I want patience, and I want it now. Let's see, long-suffering, gentleness. We need more. The world is violent now. Violent. I go on Facebook and these just people. Kids are fishing and people are going crazy, telling them they're going to kill. It is a crazy world out there. We need gentleness. How about goodness? Let's see, what's the next one? Gentleness. Faith. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Faith. 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 It's a fruit of the Spirit. So you can't OD on this. Faith, meekness, and self-control. Brother Darrell has such self-control. So that's what the Lord said to me. So I'm just presenting that to you. I just took that as the Lord is saying, listen, Darrell, you can't have too much faith. If faith begins where the will of God is known, how can you have too much faith? I said, faith, true faith, begins where the will of God is known. God's word is his will, so how can you have too much faith? I love this word. I've caught Pastor Jay's addiction. I got an addiction to this. In fact, if I miss it for one day, I know it. If I miss this for one day, my wife knows it. She'll be like, man, you need to get some word in you. I get withdrawal. Okay, I know nobody else does here, but anyhow. So, the mustard seed, he said, that's all you had to have is a grain of mustard seed. So, I'm telling you what I did. I got a list. And I wrote down all these things. There was things in my body that I'd put up with. There was things in my family. There was things. I wrote it. It was front and back. And I wrote in real little. I must have had 50 things on there. But I said to myself, I know that for each one of these things, I have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. So I wrote it down. And then I wrote beside each one the scriptures that covered that particular thing. And I knew, okay, you got the faith. Why are you still facing this stuff? Because I wasn't speaking. If I was speaking, I was speaking about the mountain and about the problem and telling everybody how grand this mountain was I had. And I had to change. I had to have the Lord touch my mouth and start speaking to it. And I am telling you, that list is gone. Now, it took more than 2 years, but the list is gone. I need to make a new one. I was exhorted by the Lord. I'm not going to get into that. I don't have time. But anyway, so I said I had a little faith. I had heard the word regarding my health, my mess, my family, my needs, everything. And so I had to change what I was saying. So let's just get right into this. I hope you've heard this scripture before. You know, for example, if you heard that you're redeemed from the curse of the law, then in that scripture alone, there's enough faith to break every curse over your life. I said, if you've heard the word that says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. You know, I used to be so concerned about generational curses, and then I realized, hold it. Christ has redeemed me from all the curses, all the curses of the law. And I had to put a stake in the ground and say, you know what? From this point on, the Reynolds family is having generational blessings. That's the truth. Why? Because Christ has redeemed us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Amen. So in Mark 11, 22 and 23, have you ever heard that scripture? I hope this is review for you. Somebody heard it way in the back. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. Some translations say have the God kind of faith, but have faith in God. See, God will do his part. It's not all you. Have faith in God. And when I read that now, I think, okay, Daryl, you got that much? Because remember, this faith, the God kind of faith, is atomic in nature. It's explosive. It can move mountains. So do I have that much faith? And I'm like, you know what? It encourages me. I'm like, I got a little. And then it says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says, which he says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now there's two qualifiers here. I love this. It says whosoever. It said whosoever. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a whosoever. Whosoever. Did it leave anybody out? This will work for anybody. Work for anybody. Preacher, non-preacher. It actually works for people that are unsaved because when they confess Jesus, they get saved. It works for whosoever. And then I love the word whatsoever. He shall have whatsoever. I said, he shall have whatsoever. Lord, take a coal and touch our lips even right now. Change our conversation. Change what we're talking about. It is important. It is important that we know who we are in Christ. It is important that we live our lives as though Jesus was standing right in front of us. Because we wouldn't say a lot of the stuff we say. Are you listening? I know. This is such a holy bunch here. You're so well-trained. So Jesus was teaching that there's a God part and their part to faith. He said, faith must speak. You must say something. I said, you must say something. You know, don't just talk about it, talk to it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 13th verse, he said, we having the same spirit of faith. How does the spirit of faith act? We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You know, I heard one preacher say, you better not be running at your giant with your mouth closed. Better not be running at your giant with your mouth closed. You know, here's the honest truth. How do I say this? If you read that scripture, now don't say I'm blaspheming. If you read that scripture, and Pastor Jay can correct this if I'm wrong. If you read that scripture, Jesus didn't say you can have what you believe. Let me try over here. Jesus did not say, look at it and read it close. Jesus didn't say you can have what you believe. Some people, well, I just trust in God. That's really not faith. That's not what Jesus taught. He didn't say you can have what you believe. Because you can sit there and believe and never say anything. You might be believing right, but unless you speak. Jesus said this. He said it emphatically because he mentioned it three times. He said, you can have, you will have what you say. If we could just sit there and go, I believe. He said, you can have what you say. Is that what he said? So, like, there's some importance there. Speak into your mountain. God's part, our part. Here's the great thing. I'm going to show you the mustard seed again. How many are facing problems right now? Three people? I don't know, you know. To me, it was welcome to the Christian life, welcome to problems. You're going to have difficulties. Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. I said, Jesus said. He said, just come to me and you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease with angels strumming on their harps. No, he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good courage or be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So listen to me. I've showed you. Yeah, hallelujah. Here's something that will set you free and change the course of your life. You only have a little faith. This is the truth. I said, this is the truth. You only need to have enough faith to move your mouth. I said, you only have to have enough faith to move your mouth, to move your mountain. Isn't that amazing? I just take God at his word. And Francine, I wore that paper. I had it on a cardstock. And I wore that thing out. And I would speak to those mountains every day. How long did you do it? I spoke to those mountains every day till they were gone. And supernaturally, our mortgage got paid off. We didn't have, it's a miracle. But mountains will move. I said, mountains will move, but they will not move until you move your mouth. Mountains won't move until you move your mouth. Then God will do his part. Why? Because Jesus said, this is how faith works. There's a believing part, but there's a saying part, a speaking part. I want to just go over this one thing. One Greek scholar said in the original Greek, you may have heard this, but I didn't. I had never heard it. One Greek scholar in that scripture, Mark 11:23, one Greek scholar said in the original Greek that three different Greek words were used that were translated say. The first one, when it said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that word was epel, and it means to utter a command. So whosoever shall epel, shall utter a command. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that second word, was laleo, and it means to speak with a bold voice of authority. You know, you got to act like you believe it. I said, you got to act like you believe it. Even if you had just a little faith, you know, put some grunt in your voice when you're speaking to that mountain. I'm sorry for that term. But speak to those mountains. And then the last one, this is what I really loved about this. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You know what the last Greek word was for that? Lego. L-E-G-O. Legos. That's where we get Legos. Yeah, seriously. In fact, I have a whole sermon. I brought a big box of Legos in. And on the package, it said Speed Racer. And it was this jet airline, fighter aircraft. And I had to put it all together and set under the pulpit. I dumped the whole thing out. I said, you know what? A lot of times, this is what our life looks like. What's that look like? That's a mess. That's a mess. But in that box of Legos, there is systematic instructions. That word Lego literally means systematic discourse. Keep saying the same thing. And you go through that systematic discourse one at a time. Keep saying it. Keep doing it. Keep saying it. And at the end, that mess has turned into a beautiful speed racer. Whosoever. So you could read it like this, and then you could read it like this. Whoever commands this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart but believes, has a little mustard seed of faith, that those things he speaks with a bold voice of authority will be done, he will have whatever discourse he systematically says over and over. As I said, technically speaking, Jesus didn't say you'll have what you believe. He said you'll have whatsoever you say. Whosoever shall have whatsoever they say. And as I said, God always touches somebody's mouth before he changes their life. I'm going to close with this. Do you remember the woman with the issue, the story of the woman with the issue of blood? And she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She spent everything she had on a doctor's, didn't get any better, but grew worse. Got worse. I mean, I went through a thing years ago, and I know exactly what she's talking about. She spent everything she had on physicians and didn't get any better, but got worse. But she had heard about Jesus. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. If you read that, I think it's in Mark 5. If you read that in the Amplified, it says, she kept saying. She kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. I know I'll be healed. And several years ago, I preached along these lines, and a man, I didn't know this till after, but he was in our service, and I just gave an altar call, and I said, if you want to come up front, I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. I'm just going to pray a general prayer. But I just want you to see yourself touching the hem of Jesus' garment. So I see the guy come up. I know he's a member of our church and came up. I saw him. I didn't know what was wrong with him, and he came up. He calls me the next day. He said, hey, Pastor Darrell. He said, I came up front. He said, I just saw myself touching the hem of Jesus' garment. When I did, he said, I don't know if you knew this, but I have had, I knew he had lost 35 pounds. He said, I had a problem with my stomach. All the, there's little ridges in your stomach, and the stomach is like a muscle too that squeezes the food through so your digestive process works properly. He said, I haven't been able to eat over the last 3 months. Very much at all. I've gone to the GI guy, my stomach, he's told me this is my problem. And he said, I was scheduled next week to go down for surgery in Philadelphia. They were going to put a pacemaker on my stomach that would cause it to contract and push the food through my system. He said, when I came up, I just saw myself touching the hem of Jesus' garment. And he said, and when you prayed, I felt such a burning. He said, I didn't know what it was, but when I got home, he said, I was so hungry, I ate a steak. He said, I ate a steak. This is the good part. And he said, and I just want you to know that this morning, everything worked perfectly. And he's still eating anything he wants to today. So could we all stand on our feet? First thing I want to do is, listen, I'm not going to lay hands on anybody, but I believe God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it for one, he'll do it for you. So I want you just to have your eyes closed right now, just you and Jesus. I know this. He said, if two or more are gathered in my name, I'm right in their midst. I'm right in their midst. And as we were worshiping today, I felt the anointing of God. It's here. He's here. And if you have something in your body, you have some need in your life, I just want you today to see yourself reaching up and touching the hem of Jesus' garment. If that's you, just reach up. And you just tell Jesus, I'm touching the hem of your garment. Hold that hand right up there and grab it. If he was there, just, and you wanted it that bad like that woman who pressed through the crowd, he's here. And he's here to meet your need. I'm just going to pray a general prayer, but you just see yourself touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you see every one of these hands and every one of these needs. And Father, Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, it took a little bit of faith. It took a mustard seed of faith for them to raise their hand. And you said that's all they need. It took a mustard seed for them to raise their hand, Lord, and you see that. And so I'm asking that you touch each and every person here, that you meet their need, that you heal their body, whatever it is, that you restore and reconcile marriages or their family, whatever it is, Father, that they're holding, they're grabbing and reaching for the hem of your garment. Lord, I thank you that they're touching your heart right now. And I ask you, Lord, to touch and heal and bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Now, with every head bowed, still, if you're here today, and you have never received Jesus as your Lord. You've never received him as your Savior. You've never made that commitment. I'm just here to tell you this. God sent me up here from Binghamton because he wants to touch your mouth. He loves you. He knows everything you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. Maybe an addiction problem. Maybe a family problem. Maybe a divorce. Maybe you lost a business or you lost a job or something. He knows what you're going through. And he's like, just come on. We can do this together. He wants to help. So if you're here and you've never done that, could you hold your hand up? Just lift your hand up. I see that hand. Just lift your hands up. We're not going to call you up front or anything, so just lift your hand up. I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay, everybody, let's all say this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life to you. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I thank you that you're accepting me into the family of God. I say I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that, I'm telling you, you're saved. Don't let anybody tell you you're not. If you did that, you confessed Jesus before men, and he said, I'm going to confess you. I'm going to bring you up before the Father. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.